I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, my people, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. This message of hope from Jeremiah 29:11 isn't an individual promise, but it can give hope to all who are participating in the peace-pursuing, justice-embodying life of God, even when everything is in ruins around them. But there's something in what we read on Sunday that we didn't take time to discuss. In his message, Jeremiah acknowledged he wasn't the only one claiming to have a message from God. There were others who claimed to have messages from Yahweh, and their messages were the exact opposite of Jeremiah's message. Jeremiah says, "Don't listen to those other prophets." But is it really that easy to discern when someone's message is from God and when it's not? More importantly for us, what are some ways we can discern when someone is speaking ways that align with God's will and heart? We're going to explore that briefly in this Covenant Weekly for November 25th, 2025. There's something we should be aware of. I sat in front of our church community on Sunday and said, in part, this message in Jeremiah 9:11 isn't a personal promise to you as an individual that everything will be okay for you in this life if you just pray enough, believe enough, or hold on long enough. And at the same time, somewhere in North America, it is very likely someone stood at the front of their church and said, "This message of Jeremiah 29:11 is a wonderful promise for you. God has a plan for you personally, and if you pray enough, believe enough, and hold on long enough, you'll see and experience the prosperity and goodness and vibrant life that you long for, because God wants to give it to you." What do we do with this? How do we discern when someone is speaking in a way that aligns with the heart and message of God? How do we discern who to listen to? I could just tell you that those who disagree with me are deceived or are liars, that you should put no stock in what they say, but that's a game others can and often do play. Jeremiah himself did this. Jeremiah kicks off his message to the exiles with this claim, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says." And as a part of his message, he says the following, "Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord." And I'm fairly confident that those who disagreed with Jeremiah started their claims with, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says." And they likely also included something that said, "And God says, don't listen to that Jeremiah guy. He's deceiving you and doesn't know what he's talking about." So how did they discern, and how can we discern what's in line with God's heart and message? Here are three suggestions to consider. First, what evidence is there that God is involved? For people in Jeremiah's day, the prophets would often give their message from God and say, "This is how you'll know it's true." And then they'd point to a show of God's power or a specific event to prove the truth of their message. While some people might try this method today, the New Testament gives us a clearer measure of evidence that God is involved. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by your fruit, you will recognize them." The evidence of God being involved is the fruit of someone's life. And what does this fruit look like? I don't think it's a stretch here to look at Paul's description of the fruit of the Spirit of Christ in people's lives. He says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." A good starting point to discern whether or not to pay attention to someone's message is to see if these realities are showing up in their lives and in the lives of those who are already listening to them. Does their life and does their message help the fruit of God's Spirit to grow in the world? How we answer this should guide us in our discernment process. A second thing to consider is, how aligned is their message with what is known about God? In Jeremiah's day, there had been a consistent message from God's prophets. The message was that if the people of God didn't change and start to live and act in ways that aligned with God's heart for equality and peace and justice, their kingdom would collapse and they would be taken into exile from the land God had promised them until they got things figured out with God again. So when Jeremiah comes with a message that aligns with what God has spoken in the past, it makes sense to listen. When others came with a different message, that, you know, what they are experiencing is just a temporary glitch, it didn't align. It didn't align with what God had said before. We know that this alignment didn't make them want to listen to Jeremiah, but it's a measure they could have and should have used. Likewise, before the exile, a part of the problems the kings found themselves in was they ignored the messages from the prophets, calling them to live with justice and compassion for the poor and vulnerable. Instead, they listened to those who told them what they wanted to hear, even though it went against what they knew about God through the law. In our time and place, we know what God looks like in our world. Hebrews 3, 1-3 says, "In the past, God spoke to those who came before us through the prophets, and at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word." As we try to discern what message is from God, we are good to ask whether or not that message is aligned with the life, teaching, and sacrifice of Jesus as revealed in the Gospels. Since God looks like Jesus, no message that claims to be from God can be in conflict with Jesus. For example, someone may claim that God wants men to be dominant over women, and even have Bible verses to back it up. But that conflicts with Jesus, who never used his place of power or authority over women. Instead, Jesus acted counterculturally, inviting women into discipleship and learning, treating them with respect and honor, and even entrusting them as the first messengers of the good news of his resurrection. Looking at Jesus guides us in discerning whether or not a message aligns with God's heart. And finally, here's a third question that this passage in Jeremiah prompts to help us discern whether or not a message is from God. Does it help us live in ways that reflect God's shalom in the world? The prophet Isaiah described the coming king, the one we identify as Jesus, as the Prince of Peace. Jeremiah calls on the exiles to seek the peace of Babylon. The cry is for God's people to embody, to be agent for God's shalom, God's peace in the world. They were, and we are, invited to help foster well-being, goodness, wholeness, and beautiful life, even among those who stand in opposition to God's kingdom. If someone's message, or even their way of delivering their message, fosters conflict and aggression, it probably isn't from God. If it breeds division, suspicion, and hate, it probably isn't aligned with God. If it encourages arrogance and superiority rather than humility and grace, it probably isn't from God. If it aims to take advantage of or ignore the vulnerable, the poor, or even the earth we are called to care for, it probably isn't from God. But if it fosters love and understanding, compassion and mercy, beauty and hope, we would probably be well served to heed it and allow it to shape us into people more like Jesus. Discernment isn't an easy thing to do. Jeremiah is writing to a community to give them guidance on how to discern. And our discernment is meant to be done within the community, in relationship with each other, as we listen to each other and learn. As Peter wrote to the church community, it is together that we can best discern God's leading and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen.